back to the sports sermon. We are here today to talk about some soccer. It's going to be a good podcast. We're going to look into the English Premier League. And, you know, I think they're entering about the final third of the season. Week 25 just wrapped up. And it should be an interesting end to the year. I'm joined today by a couple soccer experts. First off, we have assistant features editor Johnny Amon.
Hashtag Wenger out.
Oh, God.
Hot take.
Oh, God.
We also have halftime sports editor Jorge De Neve.
Jack Butland's the best goalkeeper in the Premier League. I'm just going to say it right now. And hot takes.
And finally, we have sports and halftime sports staff writer Eamon Coburn.
Alexis has the cutest dogs in England.
That is not a hot take.
It's a very cold take.
I used to love it.
Yeah, so like I said, we're running into about the last third of the English Premier League season. We just want to give a bit of a wrap up on, you know, what's been happening, why it's been happening, kind of unpack a lot of that. So right now, Chelsea is leading the table pretty handily. They're 19-3-3. They're at 60 points, 8 points above second place Manchester City. And, you know, they've been playing pretty well. I think this past weekend they drew someone pretty bad.
Burnley.
Yeah, Burnley. But, you know, before that, they had been on a pretty good run. They have pretty good goal differential at 34. You know, first-year coach Antonio Conte, he's really invigorated them. You guys think Conte had a big impact?
I mean, sure. I missed the times at the beginning of the season where Chelsea didn't have things figured out and they looked lost. But now Conte has put them in a great place. He's obviously knows very well what he's doing. He just took a few games to get used to it, but they're back where they always end up.
Yep.
And where Arsenal never fucking ends up.
It also helps when Eden Hazard's back to playing like the top five player in the Premier League that he is. Yeah. He's just been brilliant. I think Conte certainly helped, probably motivation, new manager, people like to play for him. But this is also a matter of Chelsea players actually playing well again.
He's a scary guy.
As opposed to what they did last season.
He gets up in people's faces. Yeah. He's very brutal in his technique. Yeah, I think there was a story
about
him.
It's those Italians.
It is Italian. There's a story about how like Pirlo wasn't moving around. He like ripped into him like in the middle of the game or something.
Yeah,
like,
Pirlo never moves.
He doesn't. He stays in the inner circle. That's a lot. Passes from there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing I want to talk about here, because, you know, I think this plays a pretty big role, is that last season Chelsea finished 10th in the table, and so therefore they're not participating in the Champions League or, you know, any kind of European competition. And last season it was the same with Leicester City, who finished 14th the previous year and ended up winning the English Premier League. So, you know, how big of a difference do you guys think it makes that Chelsea doesn't have to worry about these Champions League games?
I think it does make a pretty big difference just because of stamina. And, I mean, flying all over Europe does take a lot out of players. Chelsea, they don't have the deepest squad compared to a team like Man City, or even, I'd argue, Arsenal has a deeper squad than Chelsea, but they don't have to really rotate players very much because they don't have to play those Champions League games. I think it makes a really big difference. And you can see with Leicester this year in the league where they got to the knockout rounds of the Champions League, but they're in 17th or something like that in the Premier League. It's abysmal.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that Conte is able to pick his first choice squad week in, week out in the Premier League. It's a nice way to start. I think it becomes less of a big deal next year, though, because I think Conte will have another summer to buy who he wants, create that squad depth to be able to compete on three or maybe even four fronts. But it's certainly why Chelsea is 8 points beyond everyone at this point.
I think, unfortunately, though, Conte is representative of something that I've been thinking a lot recently. And that's, like, a lot of times players need a new coach to rekindle their motivation.
This is just a theme all day.
Something that, after 21 years,
oh God,
might dissipate in a team's message overall. Wenger out.
I mean, I think, yeah, maybe Wenger out makes sense. But I also think, especially when that coach before is Jose Mourinho, who is notorious for a third-year flame-out,
yeah.
You have to switch him around. But there's something to be said for having the stability of a manager that knows you. Like, look at what Sir Alex Ferguson did at Man United.
I agree with you. Look, I'm not saying... I mean, Arsene Wenger is one of the greatest managers of all time. Everyone can agree to that. But what we can't agree with is that things are going to change in the future. I've been saying things are going to change since fucking, like, 2008. I don't know. It's been a long time, and clearly things aren't changing. Every season is much like Georgetown basketball. Everyone convinces themselves, oh, it'll be different this year. It's not the coach's fault. It's everything surrounding it that doesn't matter. But sometimes I think the motivation of players is affected, and, like, they know this happens. They know things are constantly revolving around the coach, and it's a huge impact in that. I'm digging myself into a hole.
Where are you going with this?
I'm just angry that I'm spouting things.
We'll talk about it later.
I'm sorry.
We'll talk about it later.
I do want to point out a kind of an interesting statistic. Chelsea has 13 different goal scorers this year. Man City has 17 different goal scorers. So even accounting for the difference in the Champions League games, that's a pretty big difference. Aguero scored 18 goals for City in all competitions. But after that, they have a pretty even squad behind him, whereas Chelsea's really concentrated in Diego Costa, Eden Hazard, and Pedro have scored well over half of Chelsea's goals this season.
Yeah, that'll definitely be interesting to watch, especially, I don't know, you know, you see, I mean, Hazard's had some injury issues, and so has Pedro, so if they can't stay healthy, we might see that become an issue for them. So now I want to kind of transition to the next about five teams, because there isn't much parity between these teams. The teams between 2 and 6 in the table are all within 4 points of each other, and then after that, it kind of drops off a bit. So these teams are really the ones that are fighting for those Champions League and Europa League slots. So in second place, we have Man City, who just in January, the January window, completed the signing of Gabriel Jesus, a 19-year-old from Brazil, for what was a reported $36 million fee, and he was really performing well for them. He had 3 goals and 2 assists in 5 total games for Manchester City. But last weekend, he actually broke his foot, metatarsal fracture, so he'll be out for, I think, at least a few months. So, you know, without him coming in and really giving this team a bit of a boost there, what do you think they'll have to work on? And do you think they could potentially catch up to Chelsea?
Hey, to answer your second question, no one's catching Chelsea. The league is over. As for how will City adjust without having Gabriel Jesus, I think it spurs on Aguero to push himself a little more. I think he can get a little bit complacent because there's no one really at City in the striker position that is going to challenge him. Now Gabriel Jesus comes in, Pep drops Aguero, and Jesus does well. He's hurt, though. Aguero comes on and replaces him. Really has himself a good game, the best he's played for a while. So I think that helps Sergio Aguero get back on track. As for when Jesus gets healthy, it'll be interesting to see because he's a good player, very exciting. And a young front three of Raheem Sterling, Leroy Sané, and Gabriel Jesus, look out.
It's a lot of pace.
It was a lot of pace. Great for FIFA.
Great for FIFA. What's the best takeaway I can take from all this? Because Arsenal, as we know.
All right. We have more teams. Right. Anything else on Man City?
No, pretty much what they said. I don't think anyone's catching Chelsea. They're just, 8 points clear with 15 to go. That's a really big gap, especially considering they've already played both games against Arsenal. I think they don't have that many top games left. So they'd have to lose a couple really to like a couple mid-table teams or a couple bottom feeders, and I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. So then we have, you know, in third place, we have Tottenham, who's above on Arsenal, I think, on goal differential, with 50 points. You know, this is a team that has been confusing me a bit because it seems they lost to Liverpool 2-0 last weekend, and they were really bad. One of the goals was, I think, just like a misplaced back pass. You know, it was a really sloppy performance for Tottenham. And, you know, this is a team that kind of paradoxically plays bad against good competition and good against bad competition, which is really problematic because, you know, they'll go out and they'll beat Hull City like 5-0. And then everyone will be like they'll play a great game, like not just beating up on Hull City, they'll just actually play a really good game. And then they'll come out and lose to Liverpool, you know, bad performances against the top six. So what did you guys think of this game in particular, if you watched it, or just Tottenham in general?
Almost sounds like Arsenal a few years ago. I think that's a really good point about Tottenham. I swear, every weekend I turn on the TV on like match of the week or whatever, match of the day, and Tottenham is beating up on Watford 4-1 every single week. I think they play Watford like 30 times. but they can never seem to get it going against the top teams, except for Arsenal, who they usually draw. So yeah, it is really a problem for them, because in order to win the league, and you saw it last year where they really should have finished second and then blew a couple late games down the stretch. In order to really compete in the league, you have to be good against the top competition. And right now, Tottenham is just blowing every single time they play someone in the top six.
They haven't contributed much in the top six, but I don't know. I think, I don't know who they play later on in the season, but maybe depending on if they have a few bottom feeders, they could jump a bit. But so now I think we're going to get to the team that everyone is trying to talk
foaming
about.
At the mouth.
Yeah. So Arsenal, sitting in fourth place, 50 points behind Tottenham. You know, top scorer, Alexis Sanchez in the Premier League. He has 17 goals. But again, as has been the theme for as long as I have been an Arsenal fan, they are stuck in this perpetual cycle of always finishing above fourth place, but never finishing first. They always end up between 2, 3, and 4, and it's just so annoying because, you know, they don't have a bad enough year for Wagner to be gone, but they also don't have a good enough year to finally win the title. So let's talk about this.
So the cycle, what you're talking about, has become something that's extremely frustrating. It always goes at the beginning of the season, they build up a little bit of hope. Maybe there's 1-2 bad losses, but for the most part, you think, you know what, maybe this year, this will be the year. You go through Champions League, you say to yourself, okay, oh, well, we're going to get... Last year was kind of disappointing. We got yanked in at the last second. But this year, first place, we think, you know what? There's no way when we can try the round of 16 that we don't march on through. What? There's too much built up against us. There's no way this doesn't happen. Then you draw Bayern. Then, on the first leg, you lose 5-1 at Allianz after everything that could have possibly gone wrong. A team that just looks so unmotivated. A team that just looks so sad. And then you remember you're watching Arsenal, and this happens every year. So you're not too surprised, but you know what's going to happen is that all your focus is going to go back to the EPL. You might have a late season surge, and you might end up at the fourth spot. We'll just barely prevent Arsene Wenger from receiving too much criticism. If he falls outside of the top four this year, who knows? Maybe this means he goes. There's too much negativity surrounding him, I think, whether he wants to or not, whether the front office thinks he should stay or not. There's too much negativity. I think either he calls it quit or the front office says, you know what, like, we can't keep doing this.
I'm not sure that his contract's going to get extended because I'm pretty sure it's up in
the
year.
Is it up?
Is it?
And also, Sanchez and Ozil have their contracts up, which is a pretty, you know, arguably a bigger problem for Arsenal because Alexis with 17 goals in the Premier League, top scorer. He's basically been their whole offense this year, except unless it's Olivier Giroud in like the 85th minute.
Or passing,
scoring
out, of course.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. It's the thing with Arsenal is it's very different from Tottenham, whereas now, like, occasionally they do play well against the top six, but then they just blow games against just random teams.
Southampton.
Especially Southampton, as of late. But they just, like, they have so many trap... It's not even trap games at this point. It's just they do seem unmotivated, and they just play really badly for no reason against teams that they should be beating 5-1 like Tottenham.
So here's my take with Arsenal. They're very front-heavy in their midfield. For whatever reason, Wenger loves to buy attacking midfielders. He loves to buy wingers. He wants to be Barcelona. He wants to be able to move the ball and play beautiful football. But he doesn't have the central defensive midfield anchor like a Sergio Busquets, although we saw what he did against PSG, but he doesn't have that type of player to help that, to keep them flowing, and his back line gets exposed. And his back line, his two center backs, are very frail. Either Koscielny's fine. Either you put him next to Per Mertesacker, who is slow and can't keep up with anyone, or you put him next to Gabriel, who has mental lapses. On top of that, you don't have a reliable striker beyond Giroud in stoppage time that is going to get you goals from anywhere besides Alexis Sanchez. So that's Arsenal's problem. And Wenger has not addressed that in the transfer market, even though for about 5 years now, that is what everyone says is their biggest need.
Well, yeah, he got Mustafi.
Yeah, but he's been hurt.
He has not played particularly well.
The fact that I forgot about Mustafi shows us what he's done so far this season.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
the game season, he looked solid.
And
he died.
I was really hopeful.
Sounds like Arsenal.
I was really hopeful on the Granit Xhaka signing, because he has had a bunch of really good performances, but he just can't stay on the pitch.
Another
thing, he's one of those players, him and Aaron Ramsey are two players that always perform very well for their national teams, but then they come back to Arsenal, and unfortunately it just gets so much worse.
Ramsey doesn't get to play center mid for Arsenal, though. That's his problem.
He doesn't get the freedom, I understand, but I think you should be able to look at that and say, like, oh, this works. He's a world-class player for Wales, and like was the single reason they got to the semifinals.
Yeah,
like
they do that. They don't do that, and they play him again. They play him next to a midfielder in Coquelin, who will not sit back.
Yeah,
and
I think
have that freedom.
Yeah, Coquelin has been like kind of anointed as like the central defensive midfielder for Arsenal, and I don't think he's really performed up to the level that they need him to.
He's not good enough. They want to win things.
Like I think he is kind of the mold of the player you need, like a defensive-minded player that can pass. I just don't think he's good enough to fulfill that role. Like, he is not a good player. But he is, like, the model of player that they need.
I do think Coquelin has taken a lot of stick because they need someone to blame. It's like how they used to give all the blame to Matthew Flamini. it's always central midfielder. I think he is a really good player. He is very defensive-minded. He's usually in position. He makes rash tackles from now and again. But, like, he'd be a really good defensive midfielder in, like, Ligue 1. And I just don't think he can do it. He's not fast enough to compete against top six. And he offers absolutely nothing offensively. I don't think he's ever scored a goal.
Well, that doesn't matter. What I like about him is that he tries and he always looks like he cares.
Yeah,
that's one thing, which it's sad that I have to say that. This team, I mean, they should be self-motivated. All of that, but at least he cares about playing for Arsenal. It's special for him. You respect that. I love that.
The bar just gets lower and lower.
That's why we need Carl Jenkinson to play all
that. Oh, hey, God.
Jenkinson, give it a shit. I love that.
Hometown boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You know, I think I did see that this is Wenger's. His contract's up after this year, so we'll see. But, like, I don't know. This is. Like, I really like Ozil. I really, really like Sanchez. And I think that those are two players that they could definitely build around. And also, you have Iwobi, who's been... He's been kind of inconsistent, but I think he has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Another one to watch out for, the Jeff. Jeff Rain-Adelaide is looking real good. Young player coming through the system. Arsenal has had some pretty good youth prospects. I mean, Zelalem has underperformed, and they've had to send out a lot of them.
Afobe underperformed. He was going to be good.
Chuba Akpom has looked all right when he's played, but he's out on loan now.
Remember when everyone thought Yaya Sanogo would be the...
I don't know.
I was just like, all right, we'll see what happens.
Hey, he did pull, like, a pick in the FA Cup final. So yeah. Ramsey scored, so he got a trophy. So you know what? I don't even care. It's a free.
Cool. Yeah, but... I don't know. I guess it's a sad day for Arsenal fans today.
Much like every day.
But yeah, much like not very different. So then, you know, behind Arsenal, we have Liverpool sitting at fifth with 49 points. This is a team kind of like Tottenham. I can't really figure out because they have the most points out of any team against the top six, but they also have underperformed against the bottom half of the table. So. You know, this is a team that has kind of been on the downswing the past few years. Do you guys think they'll be able to turn it around at all? Do you think they could jump into the top four?
I don't think they will make the top four this year. I think Klopp's system is getting through to the players. I think his front six are exceptional. And when they press, when they play against the top six, they're able to press. They're brilliant. Klopp needs to build his back line because they're too weak, specifically at left back, where right now they're playing Moreno. James Milner and Alberto Moreno is poor. And their goalkeeper is not good enough as well, but Liverpool's on the way back. I think they finish fifth. I think they have another year of playing Thursday nights before they step back up to Champions League level.
You think United gets to fourth?
No.
So you think Arsenal finishes fourth?
I think Arsenal finishes third.
I think they'll right the ship, but I think the table looks fairly similar to what it does right now at the end of the season. Maybe Tottenham drops below Arsenal, but Tottenham can also find a run of form and play with anyone.
There are three certainties in life: death, taxes, and North London being red.
I'm surrounded by a ton of Arsenal fans, so I can't give any reasonable takes around them.
You know, one interesting thing about Liverpool is that, you know, this is a very deep team. They have a lot of talented players in a lot of different positions. A lot of people they've bought within the last few years, like Sadio Mane has been incredible. I think he scored two goals for them over the weekend. He just got back from the African Cup of Nations. But I think, like you guys said, definitely the defense is the thing that's hurting them.
Goalkeeper's been a real issue for them.
Yeah.
Lloris Karius, I think.
I saw that.
Goalkeeper's been an issue since
Pepe
Reina left.
Yeah,
they've had a good problem.
Yeah, I think Mignolet started their last game.
Mignolet looked real shaky last year. And then, I don't even know, did he start the season? Or did Lloris Karius start the season?
Karius started the season with a broken hand. So Mignolet started, I don't know.
Yeah, Mignolet has started 15 games and Karius has started 10. So kind of split. I don't know what exactly who started when, but...
I have a Welsh friend who's always saying that they should start Danny Ward, who's like the third stringer from God from Wrexham. He's a Wrexham fan in like Northern Conference like 2. So he just wants the transfer.
Moral of the story is they should just never have gotten rid of Pepe, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was too early.
Yeah. So, and finally rounding out the top 6, we have Man U sitting in the 6th spot with 48 points. You know, this is another team I can't really figure out because they have a lot of talent, but again, kind of underperformed. Have you guys seen anything with them?
They just started off too slowly. I mean, they look real good, really good recently, but they had a real slow start to the season. I mean, Zlatan's actually looked like a pretty good buy. Pogba's been on and off this year. I don't know. The defense, again, it seems to be a common theme with a lot of these EPL teams is they really focus on buying for the attackers, which is partially just due to the market because there's so few good central defenders on the market. I mean, I don't know if I wouldn't consider Mustafi one of like the top 8 central backs or maybe even 10 central backs in the world, and he was probably the best central back that's on the market, maybe except Mats Hummels.
Yeah, I mean, it's a typical Jose Mourinho team, isn't it? They're very promising. You have a striker like Zlatan Ibrahimovic who's clinical. You have a solid midfield. You create some solidity in the back, which is why they're maybe not as exciting going forward and compensate for the defense, yada, yada, yada. They're in 6th. They'll play on Thursday nights again next year. They'll be better next year, I think. I think it's really
You don't think with their talent they turn around and boost the ship up into the top 4?
No, because that would require someone above them to drop points. I don't think teams above them will drop enough points that United will win, because United still will occasionally draw a game because they decide, you know what, we'll just sit back.
Yeah.
I would like to give a shout out to Juan Mata, who has worked his way back into a Mourinho team somehow. Mourinho hates Juan Mata, but Juan Mata happens to be the second leading goal scorer for Man U after Zlatan, so shout out to Juan.
He's a great guy.
He's a hardworking man.
Yeah.
Family man.
Respect that.
Okay. So now I want to talk about the relegation battle, because this is always very exciting for me. I love the relegation battle. I think it's really funny.
They should introduce the relegation to MLS.
I agree with you.
Stay tuned for halftime. That takes coming.
Will never happen, but it should happen.
Yeah, actually, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I just listened to a podcast with Sunil Gulati, and he said it's probably not going to happen.
Just, I mean, just the way the league is set up, they'd have to completely restructure the franchises into clubs and, legally.
The amount that they promised the cities, like, the taxpayers.
But, anyway, so, with the relegation battle, I think there are about 4 teams. We have Middlesbrough, which is at 16th, 22 points. Then we actually have Leicester, 17th, 21 points. They've lost their last 5 games. You know, I don't know. Leicester, I think last season was kind of a fluke, but I also don't know if I expected them to drop off this much.
Losing Conte plays a huge blow for them. I think that's that's really what
it's fairly out. Simple. One, Ranieri really wants to focus on Champions League because why not? It's never coming to Leicester.
He's already
again.
Won the EPL.
Yeah. Just go
doesn't
for
matter.
It. Yeah. Two, N'Golo Kanté is probably my third choice in world football for a true box-to-box midfielder behind Arturo Vidal and Raja Nainggolan. So it's a good list to be on. Mm-hmm. Losing him destroyed Leicester.
Or his list of box-to-box midfielders. Something I've been trying to work myself up to my whole career.
It's like Johnny's married list. They all call Jorge every night.
They're like, wait,
no, I want to get
too. I need to move up.
Yeah, you know, this team just has not looked good. And I would really be sad if they got relegated. Like, I think that would be really sad.
Yeah, how great would it be if they were a championship
if they won the Champions League
in the Champions League.
Really
yeah. That'd be great. I'd love to see that.
I wouldn't be that sad just because I'm still salty about last season.
I'm also salty, but I still think it was a great story. Like, I think Ranieri is a great guy. And, like, even though Vardy is kind of a dick,
Do you think Ranieri needs to go if they can't turn this around in like the next?
No, he accomplished the greatest feat potentially in soccer history.
I don't know. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk.
He probably does. He probably goes. I don't know if I really agree with that, but I mean, I think you know when a team gets relegated, they usually.
Yeah.
Start from scratch.
Accomplished the greatest thing possibly of all time in soccer. Like, that's they were 5,000-1 odds. That's insane. That doesn't happen unless you're a fantastic coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
I disagree. It happens when you have a magical season and magic in the feet of Riyad Mahrez.
If Arsene Wenger was managing that team, they would not have finished for it. Mark my words, managers matter.
But then, you know, Leicester didn't make that many moves in the January transfer window. I think they just sold Jeffrey Schlupp. I don't think they really bought anyone. So, I mean, they're really ride or die with their roster right now.
No, they should be a lot better than they are.
I don't think it's fair to expect them to be even top four again.
Yeah.
But I think, like...
I think
it's fair.
I don't know about top 10. They should have 30 points by now and be fairly safe.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that they should at least be like around 12. Around that area. I don't know top 10, but like this should not be a 17th place team. But
no, they should.
Alas.
It happens.
Jamie Vardy's only scored 6 goals this year. Mahrez has scored 7. I think he's been hurt a little bit. 7 including 4 in the Champions League. So he's only scored 3 games in the league. Slimani and Vardy are leading scorers with 5 in the league. Didn't Jamie Vardy have, like, 11 games in a row last year?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Weird goals? Yeah. Yep. Do you think about record?
Do you think Leicester or their fans or the management in general, that they might wish that last summer they would have sold everyone else off? And,
maybe.
Yeah. Or maybe, like, or you do you think they want to push themselves in the Champions League as far as possible?
I mean, like, I kind of thought that just because, like, Vardy's pretty old.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know if you're ever
going to
get
better than Arsenal.
Like, it is never going to get better than that, like, $25 million Arsenal offer.
Yeah.
Well, Vardy turned down the offer.
Yeah. That was Vardy. Yeah. He wanted to stay, which, I mean, respect. But I think Mahrez, I think you could have gotten a lot of money for him. But, like, I don't know. I assume management wishes they may have made a different choice just because they could have made all that money. And maybe not had to reinvest it, but like,
I mean, for a team like that, $25 million is an unreal amount.
Yeah, yes.
Amount of money they're being paid by a Champions League is also an unreal amount.
Yeah,
but
that's why they're trying.
That's why they're trying, I'm sure. But they're not gonna win the Champions League this year. Never say never, but like, also they're not gonna.
We saw Chelsea do it.
Hey, Bayern's gonna lose 4-0 at the Emirates. That's all.
Okay.
How much do you think?
Just for Leicester
counterpoint.
How much do you think that? Teams making adjustments against Leicester has also hurt them beyond losing Conte. Because all of last spring, I was like, okay, teams have seen Leicester once. They're going to play them. They're going to make some adjustments. And then they kept seeming to make the same mistakes, except Arsenal, who beat them twice.
Yeah.
Or not, battered them once and then beat them a second time on Welbeck's header. But shout out Arsenal.
That was the last great moment.
I think they have teams have made a lot of adjustments against Leicester too, against Mahrez. And against Vardy, and like, I don't think it's totally explainable by just a drop in form by Vardy.
Yeah.
Teams must be doing things to keep him more contained than last year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think their style of play is really like it's not the kind of thing that you could keep up for that extended period of time. Like giving away 60-65% possession and scoring on like two chances and winning 1-0 is like you can't really bank on that. And I think that's part of the reason why like they got pretty lucky, because like that's not really a championship formula.
Yep.
But you know, I don't know. We'll see. I want them to stay up, so we'll see if they can win a couple games this spring and hopefully stay up. But so in 18th place we have Hull City, who has looked bad.
Start the season with 13 players.
Yeah. Like not good. But the January window, they brought in a couple players who I think could help them out. They brought in Lazar Markovic from Liverpool on loan and Andrea Ranocchia from Inter Milan on loan. So, you know, those aren't wonderful players in terms of the EPL standard, but like that's definitely an upgrade from what they had.
They also sold their best player, though.
Yeah, they sold Snodgrass, which is like kind of surprising.
Kind of cancel it out. Markovic has been inconsistent in the Premier League before.
I mean, you have nothing to lose with grabbing people on loan. Like, you pay them for the second half of the season and then they leave. So
I do hope they stay up, just because the whole starting season with like less than 11 players or whatever it was at one point. I think at one point they literally were bringing in like random people from like the U21s or something to fill out a squad during their preseason games. So I don't know. I like rooting for a team like that. Hope they stay up.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, then behind them, there's Crystal Palace, which is another team that I think should be so much better than they are. Like, this is a team that has Christian Benteke leading their attack. They have Wilfred Zaha, Johan Kabaye. You know, this is a really good attacking team. But I think their defense has kind of been the thing that's brought them in this year. They've given up the most goals out of the five teams battling against relegation. And this January transfer window, they brought in a bunch of defenders. Mamadou Sakho, Jeffrey Schlupp, and Logan Van Aanholt, three defenders.
Yeah, I mean, it will help them, but it will take those defenders a little bit of time to gel.
Right.
This team got, like, we forget the second half of last season, they were safe from the start because they had a brilliant start to the year. But 2016, they were bad. They hardly brought in any points. They were outplayed by maybe the worst Manchester United team I've ever seen in the FA Cup final. And Alan Pardew ran Crystal Palace into the ground, and Sam Allardyce is struggling to turn it around. So, offensively, they're good enough to get out, but I don't know if they'll do it.
It's been for Big Sam. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. whatever happened to Johan Kabaye? Because one window ago, he was being considered to go to Arsenal, and like Arsenal, they were saying, or PSG, he was at PSG, and they're talking about him going to Arsenal. And now, every time I watch him play, I'm just very unimpressed. I think last time I saw Crystal Palace, he got taken off in like the 65th minute or something like that, which was surprising to me, because when I remembered him from Newcastle, at least, he was an exciting player.
I mean, he went to Crystal Palace for a club record fee, which I mean, from PSG, so.
Man, I miss old Newcastle. There's a Demba Ba on high season. Oh,
no. With Johan Kabaye. That Poppy season.
Oh, the first goal against Chelsea?
Yeah.
Oh, and they had Hatem Ben Arfa.
Oh, Ben Arfa was so good.
Yeah, they had a lot of exciting players. Yeah. They cannot really put it together, but you know, they were an exciting team.
Yeah, cool. But are they in the championship?
They're in the championship.
Any chance they get up, you know?
I have no idea.
I haven't checked the table for a while, but I would assume they were doing all right, although they drew Norwich when their goalkeeper whipped a clearance. So.
Classic. Yeesh. That happened to me, my team. And but yeah. Agreed. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean.
Oh, they're first.
Okay. Yep. All right. So Newcastle will probably be coming back up.
Newcastle, Brighton, Huddersfield, Reading, Leeds United.
All right. If Newcastle comes up, do we think Sunderland stays up for some more time-wear derbies in the Premier League?
Just out of spite.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, right, I honestly feel like this is Sunderland every year.
They don't even need a great escape this year. They just need to like win a couple games.
Yeah, and they have Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah, so yeah, then let's talk about Sunderland for a second. They're in last, 19 points. They have Jermaine Defoe, who I think is like top six in goals.
14 goals.
Yeah,
The ageless wonder. It's incredible they didn't play more for England.
They brought on Joleon Lescott in the January window.
How old is he now?
I don't know, but he I saw that and I was like,
You should go, buddy.
I was very surprised.
They have Brian Oviedo too. He was tall at Everton for a couple years.
He's 34. Yeah.
Joleon Lescott's only 34.
That's not that old. He was unattached. I don't know if he just didn't have a team or if he had retired.
He was with Villa at some point.
He was the captain of Villa for a little
while.
Yeah. He went to AEK Athens and then got hurt. Got hurt while cycling in his apartment. And then was ruled out for the rest of the season.
Cycling in his apartment.
That's brutal. He refused to get help from the team doctors and insisted on completing his rehab in the UK.
All right. Well.
And then they terminated his contract on November 14th.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a big old mess.
So, I don't know. I don't know if he can play, but he'll look to try to help them. So, some other notable January transfers that, you know, weren't really, didn't really have any of these teams involved, but I still want to kind of talk about. We have Dimitri Payet, who signed a 5-year contract with West Ham last season, got shipped off to Marseille for a reported $30 million because he didn't want to play for West Ham anymore.
I mean, like,
when your wife and kids tell you to leave you.
Yeah, like, you have to see it coming, West Ham. He was with you for 1 year, and you had him sign a 5-year loyalty bonus?
Mm.
Like, really?
I don't know. I don't want to, like, guess, but I'm sure that they paid him a lot of money.
When you have a player like that, though, you do anything to keep him.
Yeah.
And you can, like, hold on as hard as you can. If they stop and, like, just kind of say, fuck you, like, that sucks. But you have to do what you can to try and keep
him. He literally refused to play, though.
That's, like...
No one saw that coming, though.
Yeah, of course no one saw it coming, but, like,
It is weird.
Maybe wait another half season to have him sign that loyalty bonus. Yeah. I don't know.
That's just like a very strange, like, way for it to play out. But I don't know.
And West Ham are playing better without him now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it all works
so,
out.
So I mean,
and they have Snodgrass.
Yeah, they bought Snodgrass with some of the money. So, and then
good player,
very good player. You have Manchester United sold Morgan Schneiderlin to Everton for a reported $25 million, which, you know, Schneiderlin had kind of fallen out of favor since Mourinho came on, but with Everton, I don't know. Maybe he'll be able to restart his career there. I think that's a good place for him.
It's a good place. I don't know why Mourinho didn't play him. He was great at Southampton. He runs and runs and runs.
They have too many midfielders there.
At Everton?
No, not Everton.
United. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. But still, he was probably their best defensive midfielder.
I mean, you've even got Schweinsteiger, who I don't think has started a game yet.
Yeah, well, no, Schweinsteiger's been coming back into form recently.
Oh yeah,
I think
Jose gets more money for people he doesn't want than Arsenal gets for people who they
desperately
Jose got $80 million for David Luiz.
Yo, that
he
is absurd.
Like $55 million or something. I don't even remember the number for Juan Mata when he was on the bench at Chelsea.
Yeah.
And then still has him back now, man. You.
Yep.
$25 million for Schneiderlin. It's just upsetting.
It's impressive.
To be a fan of any other team and see this amount of money. Because he doesn't have to worry about financial fair play anymore because he does bring in a ton of money.
Yeah.
I think Everton, you know, they haven't really put it together this year, but they have a lot of good parts. Like,
they
Lukaku
do.
Is having an incredible season.
Yeah.
They've looked pretty solid.
Yeah.
Maybe next year they could challenge for the top six. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Everton's in form.
Yeah. But then finally, you know, finally, Saito Berahino got sold from West Brom to Stoke for a reported $15 million. This has been, like, I remember this from, like,
two summers ago.
Like, he just said, I don't want to play here anymore. And West Brom was like, all right, fuck you, we're keeping you. And, like, this has just continued. So finally, he goes to Stoke, which is a place I think he could be successful there.
Yeah, Stoke need a striker. Like, who's their number one striker right now?
Peter Crouch.
But Peter Crouch is an old man now. They need some new blood there.
Yeah.
And it's about time because you knew Tony Pulis didn't like him from the start. He didn't like Tony Pulis.
Yeah.
Finally got out of it.
Stoke is another team that I think could be pretty good. You know, you have Arnautovic.
Arnautovic. Yeah, that still can be good. Shaqiri?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Shaqiri. I forgot they got Shaqiri, too.
Yeah, but I mean, Stoke can be good. Berahino will help them. They'll score more.
Yeah.
Peter Crouch just hit a century a couple weeks ago. 100 Premier League goals for Peter Crouch.
Yeah. Wow. I feel like he's just been there forever.
He has been. Scored a banging volley against City.
Yeah.
Never forget. I'm a big fan of the Peter Crouch / Andy Carroll mold of English strikers. Huge guys who score headers in big games.
Does Peter Crouch even score headers anymore?
He's like 6'9".
Yeah, he's massive. He's
6'5", but like.
Yeah, but still does he even score headers anymore? Like his World Cup header, he had to pull the hair of a defender that's a foot shorter than him.
Yeah.
Hey man, you got results.
Yeah, all about the results. So, you know, we love our bold predictions here on the Sports Sermon, and I don't know if any of these are going to be bold. I just have it labeled as predictions, but we're going to try and see if we can. We can get the rest of the year right. So
we'll make them hot. Don't worry.
Okay, so we've got Golden Boot. You know, right now, looking at the goal scorers, you've got Alexis, like I said, in the lead with 17. Romelu Lukaku of Everton with 16. Diego Silva at 15.
Costa.
Oh, I'm sorry. and Zlatan Ibrahimovic at 15, also, and then a few other people: Harry Kane, Jermaine Defoe, Dele Alli, Sadio Mane, all kind of in there. Who do you guys think ends up with the Golden Boot?
I'm looking at Aguero sitting there on 11 goals. And given that Gabriel Jesus is out,
it's a big gap.
Sergio Aguero is going to catch fire and score like 10 goals in the next 10 games and finish with that Golden Boot.
Interesting. We'll see.
I'm going to go with Lukaku. I think not being in the top six takes a little bit of the pressure off of him. I mean, he doesn't have to deal with all the media pressure that a player like Alexis does or a player like Zlatan. I mean, Zlatan loves the media attention, but a player like Zlatan does. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Lukaku. I think the Schneiderlin signing will help them defensively and only give them more opportunities.
So I believe in the power of the narrative. Because of that, I think Jermaine Defoe is going to continue on his tear through the EPL.
Jermaine Defoe takes Golden Boot as Wildcats escape yet again.
Thank you for what a narrative that would be. That's the story I'm going with.
Yeah, and you know, just to be different here, I'm going to go with Harry Kane sitting at 14 goals. Maybe
no one picks Alexis. That's fine.
Tottenham. That's because everyone here hates Arsenal.
They're going to
collapse. I think Tottenham will make a late run, maybe end up in the second place spot, and I think Kane will be a big part of that.
All right.
So now we have Player of the Year. You know, I don't know. You guys have any bold takes for Player of the Year?
Personally, I think it should be Conte. I think he's great in the midfield of Chelsea. He runs, picks up so many, and especially in a really two-man central midfield next to the not very mobile Nemanja Matic. He should win it. However, the pundits and the people who vote are going to give it to Eden Hazard because he's had a revitalized season and is...
The media.
Eden Hazard is symbolic of Chelsea's rise from the ashes, if you will.
I also was going to say N'Golo Kante. He's been vital to Chelsea's turnaround. And I think he's the best player on that team, and this season has been the best player in the EPL.
Well, lucky for you guys, I also thought it was going to be N'Golo Kante, just because that team wouldn't be where they are without him. He is anchoring their midfield. He controls everything. He's the reason, along with Eden Hazard, who is having a rejuvenated season. It's also very important to success, but I think that Hazard is playing that way, or he wouldn't even be at that level without Conte. So for that reason, I would go with him.
You're right.
Yeah.
Hey. People don't see box-to-box midfielders, though.
Yeah.
He's on Jorge's list. Remember?
It'll probably be Hazard, I think. But yeah, Conte definitely is up there. So, you know, this is a question I think you guys answered earlier, but any chance anyone can take over Chelsea and win the league?
No.
Nah.
I'm not confident in the field at all. Everyone drops too many points. Chelsea's not going to drop that many points.
Yeah. You know, and this next question is a bit more, I think a bit more easy. Not easy to answer, but it's a better question. Who do you think gets the Champions League slots out of those top six? I think Chelsea obviously probably locked into top four.
Yeah. I think it's the current top four. Actually, in that order as well. I think Arsenal will have to go through the ordeal of a playoff against some godforsaken Eastern European team that they should dispatch easily. But
they're
I
seeking.
Always Fenerbahce.
Yeah. I think it's the current top four. United started too slow to get there. Liverpool doesn't win the easy games. So.
Everyone's right there, but I'm also going to go with the same top four, although I'm going to go Man City second, Arsenal third, Tottenham fourth, because Tottenham always finds a way to blow it. I mean, even last year, which was they lost on the final day to, I think it was Newcastle.
Yeah, it was something.
Newcastle, yeah. Man United, just like the early season bumps, they're back in it now, but I could see them being a little unstable down the run, down the stretch run. And, yeah, Liverpool just drops too many points in games that they shouldn't be.
Yep.
Like I said earlier about the cycle is completed when Arsenal has a small end-of-the-season surge and finds a way to top Tottenham. Because this season has gone exactly the same way as the past five seasons, probably even more. I believe they will finish above Tottenham. And other than that, Man City second, Chelsea's going to win.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. So finally, the relegation battle. You know, out of these five teams, Middlesbrough, Leicester, Hull, Crystal Palace, and Sunderland, who do you think are the three that end up going down?
So I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball. I actually think Bournemouth goes down.
Bournemouth, really?
I see Bournemouth sliding. They're 6 points from safety, or 6 points from the drop zone right now. Nathan Ake, who was on loan from Chelsea, just got recalled, right. So as their best defender. I see Bournemouth sliding all the way down to 18th. I also see Burrow going down, and I see Hull going down.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Burrow, Hull, and Burrow, Hull, and Leicester. Sunderland's loves a great escape, even though this year it's more like just winning two games, probably. I mean, I honestly, if Sunderland wins four games, three games out of the last 15, they'd probably be safe.
Yeah.
Ten more points, wins three games and a draw. I think they'd be safe pretty easily. So, Sunderland, Palace with the defensive help. Not a fan of Mamadou Sakho, but he's better than who they have. Jeffrey Schlupp, always a great player.
Just a great name.
Great name, great player.
Great wingback.
And, so Hull, Leicester, and Sunderland. Leicester, Borough, and Sunderland.
So, I'm going to say Palace is my one to drop. I think if they've had this much difficulty so far in this season with the players they have, I don't see how anyone coming in is really going to change up too much for them. I think the mentality is weak because they feel like they should be a lot better than they are. And when you're in this position, it's very difficult to overcome that mentality. Sunderland, I hope, makes the great escape. That's because it's always fun to watch. It's always a good time. But evidently, this time they'll fall. And Hull will also go down. So pretty much the teams at the bottom, I anticipate, will stay at the bottom.
Yeah, so I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb here and say Leicester is going to end up going down. As much as I would hate that, you know, I don't think that their game is really conducive to staying up. And I think, in addition to them, I think Sunderland and Hull will end up going down. I think Palace just has way too much talent to go down. And maybe that's just, you know, me being ignorant, but I think they have to get started at some point. And maybe they will. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll all be wrong. It happens sometimes here on the Sports Sermon. But I want to thank you guys for joining me today. I just want to give a quick plug. You could find all of the Voices podcasts at the Voice Podcast Network on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check out a lot of great content on the Georgetown Voices website. If you're interested in following some social media, you can follow Halftime, the Georgetown Voices Sports and Media blog, at HalftimeGU. You can follow The Voice in general at GTown Voice. If you were interested in some of the personal takes, you can follow me at Nick Gavio.
I'm at Real Johnny Amon.
I don't have Twitter.
Come on.
Oh, good. Finally, someone with me.
Oh, man. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
You
can follow me on Tumblr at cat and cat pictures.
Oh, man.
I always thought that was you.
Oh, thank you, everyone.
See ya.